Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
coming to your God, so come into your heart, come into your God.
Welcome to PGN, where we do it more than we talk about it. Welcome to PGN. I'm your host, Carmen, for tonight. Tonight is Saturday, April 16th, 2022. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here one more time in your name, gathered in your name to lift up your holy word, your holy name. Thank you, Father, for allowing us, for being in your family, Lord, for picking us to be part of this family, the family of God. And Lord, I just pray that tonight you have your way, that you speak what you want to speak through me, and that you move me out of the way, and you have total control over everything that is said and done in this place. And we thank you for it. We thank you for your love. We ask you to bless each and every one of the callers. Bless Prophet Randy. Continue to give him more. And bless each and every one of the prophets on PGN, Father God, and those that are teachers also, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you to move and touch the lives of those that are on the line tonight, and that they will never be the same, that they will be different once they hear the word and they hear what you have to tell them. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful week, a blessed week. And this week is special. Tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday, where it is celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, what he did, the work he did on the cross for all of us, for those that accept him as his, as their Lord and Savior. And today I'm going to be talking about covenant and the different perspectives of that. I have other little messages in between that so you can understand how the prophetic is a part of operating in your life to bring a protection over you. And all this was done on the cross for all of us by Jesus. So covenant in the perspective of how God sees it, we're going to cover that, how we can understand it and the things on earth, you know, to relate with it, you know, for instance, marriage. We can relate to covenant with marriage to have a better understanding how God deals with covenants, how covenants were set in the Old Testament and in the New Testament right now, and the partnership that we have between two people when they have a covenant and what the goal is about in this covenant. So the prophetic ministry is set with many prophets. In order for the ministry to truly, any church, any ministry to truly operate with clarity and protection, they need prophets. Without a prophet, we need the fivefold, right? But we're going to only speak about the prophetic because this is Prophetic Grace Network, okay? So you could understand what the prophets do. And so so you have a better understanding and a better my dad is trying to call. I'm so sorry about that. My daddy just called me. And he usually doesn't call me at this hour, but I'll have to call him later on. I apologize for that. my earthly father called me. Okay. So I was talking about the prophetic ministry and how it's set and that it needs many prophets. It's not just one prophet. So for a healthy ministry and a healthy church to be, you need many prophets because they have different perspective of what God is saying. And they see differently. You know, it's the same message, but they see different in their perspective. So the prophetic role here is it helps to guard the church from invaders. Okay. As a security officer, I saw a lot of things that helped me to understand my calling and the calling of prophets. So let me give you an example. A homeowner will place hedges, walls, right? They put up walls. There my daddy goes again, calling again. I'm going to have to. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Just a little confusing here. All right. And so homeowners have alarm walls that they put up in order to create a barrier, to create a hedge, like a hedge of protection. In Israel, they did the same thing. They had walls. Oh, my daddy. Okay. They had walls, and they had these walls that they would put up. And we will read about that in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, God told Nehemiah to go and gather the people and create walls, make walls, to bring up the walls that were broken so that the enemy wouldn't come in. All right? So God has his own system to prevent invaders from entering into our lives. And he uses the prophet, right? And the prophet, back in those days, would have a shofar, and they would sound the shofar. Okay, let me give you an example right here. Hold on. Okay. Okay, that was a little sound of the shofar so that you could see what the shofar does. It creates an awakening. It makes you wake up. So that's the job of a prophet, to wake you up, to help you to see, hey, you're going in the wrong path, or you're going in the right path, or there's an enemy approaching and you need to, you know, be on your alert. Okay. And so today in the military, we have what they use as trumpets or bugles, what they call bugles. And those are also used with different sounds, different tones where they blast them out either because of a death or an alert or a call to war. They do that even today. And so what I'm trying to show you here is that how to understand the prophetic calling as it comes to you, as if you all have that calling, and many don't have the calling, but they can operate in the prophetic. And so not many are called to be prophets, but they are, when they gather around with other prophets, that anointing hits them and they start operating in that prophetic calling. So in the Bible, the word shamar is called, which means guards. They guard a flock. They guard the heart, the mind, of a person, the nation, a city, and anything that tries to come from the outside to try to have an ungodly influence. Prophets are there to warn, to alert people of what is not of God. And here on the earth, as a security officer, you have them everywhere. You have them in airports. You have them in stores, in hospitals. There are many now, more than ever, even more so than before, especially with attacks that have happened. Our cities are more protected and are keeping more, even in churches and synagogues, they have security officers. Sometimes people don't even know that they're security officers, but they are being paid, and they're part of sometimes the congregation. So they're there for safety, for them to be eyes, to be the eyes to protect people from evil. Likewise, God has the same in his kingdom. And this is why I believe in the last days, the prophetic is increasing. And it will increase even more. God knows the prophetic voice will be very much needed to keep the invaders out of the churches, the ministries, people's minds, their hearts, the nations, the cities, from being attacked, okay? So the prophetic shamar works to encircle people, to place a divine wall or a hedge of protection, okay? When they speak prophetically to you, they're trying to give you a hedge, a protection, or even close a gap that was open through sin by alerting the person, hey, this is open. You know, you have this in your life, or you know, you're doing good, to encourage you. There are many things that the prophetic does. So in Isaiah 62:6, this is what God says. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You will make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent. So doesn't that sound like prayer? So God uses I noticed that when I was in groups of intercession, the women that were the older women when I was a young woman, they would operate in the prophetic. Some of them were prophetic, were prophets, but some of them weren't. But they operated in the prophetic to intercede, to go in intercession for people, for the church, for whatever the matter that the Lord would bring up. So here we can see that God is saying to not hold their peace day or night, so that they can make mention of the Lord, not keep silent. So God doesn't want the prophetic to be silenced. The prophetic is a mouth. The prophetic has eyes. They're the seers. They're the ones that see, and they're the ones that speak. Okay? So can you imagine a body without a mouth or without eyes? It won't go anywhere. It can't do anything. It can't say anything. So God has his prophets, but not many. But no one but we need more. We need more. I mean, you know, the more of prophets there are, the healthier a church is going to be to protect it, because they're going to see things from different angles. So the prophetic is like a wall, and it protects. It's like a hedge of protection to protect people's lives. But if we choose not to listen and do our own thing, then you open yourself to disobedience, and that opens the hedge, and there is a gap, you see? So then a prophet will have to come in to reseal that through intercession, through the prayers of intercession. So a prophet tells you that you have unforgiveness, or that you have this, or you have that, and you say, oh, that prophet doesn't know what they're saying, and you don't bother praying about it because God's probably trying to deal with you about something and you don't want to hear it, then you're allowing yourself to be, you know, it's not God. And people say, well, why is all this happening? It's not God. It's you. You're not listening. And a lot of times when you can't hear anymore, it's because the last thing he told you, you didn't listen to. So he is not giving you any more words if you didn't even listen to the last thing he told you. Okay, so when you're rejected, when you reject the prophet, I'm not saying that they are perfect. They're not. And I'll explain in a minute why you aren't to reject, because like everyone in whatever calling you have, there's a season of growth that you have to grow in your prophetic calling, in your callings, whatever callings you have. And so there's things that God has to heal in us and remove from us so that we could be better vessels, clean vessels, to be operating in what God wants us to say and do, and they won't be clogged with what's of us. So rejecting God, what God puts in the prophet's mouth is rejecting God, because it's not us speaking, it's not the prophet speaking, and so therefore, you don't reject what is of God, because if you do, You're going to open the doors to the enemy's attack. Okay, ouch. So I just gave some of you a Holy Ghost thanking. Don't reject God, because then you're going to be the one that's going to be rejected, because you're not following what God is saying. Prophets aren't perfect; they're vessels. But sometimes those that are learning to operate in their calling have many things that God still has to heal and deliver from, because of this. They may come out a little bit, the words of prophecy might not come out the way that some think, because there's still immaturity. So the prophet may want to be, like for instance, someone that has been hurt with love and they haven't gotten healed. Their words are going to be coming out that have to do with that, or of the things that other people have done to them, all of a sudden everybody's bad. And so that, as God heals you, then you're able to operate in that grace that God gives you, okay? When your soul is whole, then your prophetic words and your whatever calling you have is going to be whole also. Okay. So many people want to be prophets, but what I tell you is don't want to be what you want to be. Be what God wants you to be, because when you walk in what you want to be, you're walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the spirit, because you're only going to walk in what God has given to you. And it's almost like trying to make bread in a blender. You may put all the ingredients in there, but it's not going to work. You may do it, mix it for a little while with the dry ingredients, but eventually you're going to have to add those wet ingredients, and it's going to be clumpy, and it's not going to work. There are machines, mixers to make bread that have the right tip and that have the right shape and everything. Those will make the bread wonderful. And so that's like us. We're only the machinery. We're the vessel. But if we try to do something that we're not created to do, then it's like a car in a vacuum. You can clean the car with a vacuum, and you could drive the car somewhere else, but you can't. The car cannot be a vacuum, and the vacuum cannot be a car. Okay, so let's understand that the more time you waste in not walking in your calling, the longer it's going to take for you to truly be happy in the things of God, because you're trying to be who you're not. Okay, now that we understand the prophetic and what it's all about and what they do, and that they give a sort of like a hedge of protection because they keep you protected. Let's look at what tomorrow we'll be celebrating, the Resurrection Sunday, what Jesus did on the cross for us. And it ended some covenants, and it created a new covenant. So now that you understand that a covenant is between two people, and it means an agreement, a binding agreement, a legal contract. It's sealed between two or more parties. In a biblical sense, the word covenant derives from the same root word, to cut. This means that in the culture of the Bible, covenant carried weight and was often cut or sealed in blood. So they would, whatever they would do, they would seal it with blood. So why? Because there's life in the blood. So let's look back at what I said about the wall, the hedge of protection in our lives being broken by our sins, by the enemy's assault, attacks, and warfare. The prophetic encircles the person in the church, the person, the city, with a divine wall, a hedge of protection, or reseals the gap from those assaults, attacks, and warfare. So it's the job of the security officer. As I was a security officer, I noticed that these things, especially we were to protect the area with the fence, with either a fence or a wall, and we had to go around the perimeters to check what was going on to not let invaders come in. I also noticed something else. That close to, because I work graveyards, graveyard hours, I noticed that the daybreak hours that it got the coldest, it never failed. At daybreak, just right before daybreak, it got really cold. And I believe that before the Lord comes back for his church, it's going to get really cold spiritually speaking. This is when we have to be on our guard the most. Why? As I was reading Matthew 26, I realized, oh my goodness, this relates to what, as I was walking around the perimeters and late one night, I could hear many, many mornings, when the birds at 4 o'clock, they wake up, you hear the little birds, you hear the roosters croaking, I would hear all this and hear all these different noises and sounds from the morning and what I would feel, the coldness that I would feel. And so I read Matthew 26:37. It says, going a little further, he went face down and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. I thought about all that when I was working, you know, at that hour, at that midnight hour, that hour where Jesus was probably praying in the garden. Then Jesus returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Were you not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Verse 41. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And I was like, okay, Lord, I can see why when things get really bad, right before he comes, you know, it gets really cold. It gets really dark. You hear all these things, all these sounds, you know, when the animals are starting to wake up and all this stuff, and you're all tired. You're all weak. You're not as fresh as you were when you began your shift. And so in our walk, we're not as fresh as when we began our walk, and we're tired, and we're waiting for the Lord to come. And so God says, don't fall asleep. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, people. because as it gets darker, it's going to get harder for us. Why? Because we're tired. We're tired of dealing with this darkness, with this sin. And as it gets darker and more time goes by, we feel weaker. But God says that when we are weak, he is strong. But he kept telling them, watch and pray. Because if you don't, you will enter into temptation. So you won't enter into temptation. So that means there's going to be temptations out there as it gets darker. Temptations to fall back, to not do what God says. Walk the way that God says to walk. Okay? So Matthew 26:43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. That's how I felt when I was in the night shift, right at the end of the shift. Your eyes feel heavy. Your body feels heavy. You're not thinking straight. You're not. And I'm like, oh, please, Lord, that nobody come around, because I'm like half asleep. And we have to be. How do we keep ourselves healthy? By sleeping right, by eating good food, by taking vitamins. So what do we do in the spirit? We spend time with the Lord. We rest in the Lord. We meditate on the Lord's word. We have to stay strong. Maybe sometimes in the midnight, in the late hours, we have to do this. Right when it's hard, when life is hard, you're going to have to do it. You have to push through. Because if you don't, then you're going to lose in this, and the enemy will come in and invade. So Matthew 25:5 says, that's Jesus. While the bridegroom, he didn't come right away, all slumbered and slept. So it's saying here in Matthew that while Jesus was away, they got sleepy. We can't be sleepy, people. We can't get sleepy in our walk. We have to stay awake. We have to make decisions. We have to change the way that we're living. We have to make time for him. You know, there's changes that you have to make, because if you know something's not working, you're going to have to make changes. You have to make changes. Nobody but you can make those changes. So that's how I felt in those hours when the daybreak would come in. I was so tired of watching out for intruders right before daybreak. It felt really cold, and I would have to bundle up and cover my head and everything. It was like, oh, my goodness, you know, everybody's all nice and cuddly in their home, sleeping in a nice warm room, and I was all out there in a cold place. So sleepiness and fatigue sets in, not letting you think or see things clearly as when the shift first began. So it's easy to when you first start walking in the Lord. But the older you get in the things in your walk, you have to be real careful. You have to be more proactive. You have to be healthy spiritually, physically, okay, in both body, soul, and spirit. You have to take care of all those areas. Well, in the spirit, so you have to take care of your bodies, your natural bodies. You have to take care of your spirit, man, by eating the word. Not man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Okay, you have to stay fit, and it's really hard in those hours. So being good watchmen, good guards, we also need to rest in Him, rest in His words. We need to understand this covenant and why we're entering into an agreement with Him, with God. You don't take an agreement with God lightly. Just like you don't take an agreement lightly in marriage. In the past, I've shown you and I talked to you about Solomon and the Shulamite and their love, right? Well, this also is an analogy of Christ and the church and the covenant between them. It said that not to arouse love until, you know, they were ready for it. So God is saying, you know, until you're ready for it, don't commit. Don't say that you're going to commit to God if you're not going to walk with Him, because you're being a hypocrite. But before, let me show you that God has many covenants in place before He puts this last one, the everlasting covenant, the new covenant. I'll speak about five covenants in the Bible. The covenant is an agreement. It's a blood pact, right? There is the Noahic, their Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, and the New Covenant. And so God's plan for all of these were to take place for redemption for us. He knew they were going to fail, and in each one of them, they failed. Even in the one that's the new one, people still fail, and they break that covenant. So when you have a covenant, there's an agreement. The promises come from God in that covenant, and the commitment has to come from us. And God, over and over, in those covenants, he allowed those covenants to take place, and then one would end and another one would begin. But it wasn't that he eliminated the other ones. No, the ones that came after were made better. It's sort of like, you know how in the law offices, sometimes they have to create an amendment in a paper to make it better, to make it clearer and more understandable, or add something. So in the law offices, they'll create additional paperwork to amend something, to change something, to make it better. And so I think that each of these covenants, they didn't eliminate the last ones, but made it better, because God knew that people were going to fail. So the Noahic covenant was the one with Noah. In this one, he promised to never destroy all the living creatures. But they failed again. This, you can find it in Genesis 8, 21 through 22, verses chapter 9 through 11 through 15. And then the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, he made actually two covenants. He made a covenant with Abraham to make him a great nation. That's in Genesis 15. And God's promise to bless all the nations through Abraham. So that was the second covenant. Okay, now the Mosaic covenant, that's the one with Moses. God delivered them from Egypt and gave them the promised land. The agreement here was that Israel had to obey God in order to fulfill his purposes for deliverance from Egypt and having the promised land. So he promised them, you know, to get them out and to give them a promised land. They were to be priests. They were to be his priestly kingdom and holy nation. They were to reflect God's holiness in this covenant. So they had a responsibility. And so you see, it keeps on adding to the other covenants, but the other covenants are no longer in place. It's a newer one. So this last one, Davidic covenant, which is with David. Nathan, the prophet, gives the message to David for David to build a house for God. God promised to build a house for David, okay? So he promised through one of his descendants, and that was Jesus. And so there was promises there. So then comes the last one, the new covenant. And so I feel like they were amended. They still required, this new covenant still required both parties to keep their parts of the agreement. So Jeremiah, if you look in the Old Testament, speaks about this new covenant in the Old Testament. It talks about it in Jeremiah 31:31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. So that was spoken about in the Old Testament. This covenant is an everlasting covenant of peace for those that serve God. And you'll find that in Isaiah 42:6 and 49:8 through 54. The new covenant, Jesus, that covenant was done by a blood pact, and it was his death. He was whipped. He shed blood. He died on the cross. There was a covenant there. Just as in marriage, a virgin and her bridal night, in her marital bed on that first night, of her husband getting to know her, there is bloodshed that comes out of the skin within her that's broken. Another pact, there's another blood pact. Young people need to understand that they make a blood pact with people they sleep with. Their souls are entwined with these people. That's why they call it a soul tie. It's tying you to the soul of another person, their mind, their will, their emotion, the emotion of that other person. So those things are being, are pulling you to that person. That's why it's so important to understand that when you're going to marry somebody, you don't take that lightly, because there is something spiritual that's taking place. There is a pact. And the only way to break that pact is through how? Adultery. Because you're making a pact with somebody else. But you've broken the pact. You've broken the agreement with the first person. But there's consequences. The things that we have to understand, there's consequences when we do break these pacts. It hurts not only the other person that you're hurting, but it also hurts you when you break those pacts, okay? When, young people need to understand they make a blood pact with people they sleep with, okay? There's good soul ties and there's bad soul ties. Anything not in the order of God is a bad soul tie, okay? You leave them, that's why when people break up, and it hurts people because a piece of them stays with that other person. You know, it's your soul, it's your mind, your emotions that are still connected to that person, and it hurts. It takes years. If God doesn't heal that, it'll take years, and then it'll affect even your calling. So you have to be careful with certain people because that joining with them might affect your calling, okay? It might affect your calling, and that's how the enemy, you will use somebody else to get into that hedge of protection, because the enemy wants to get in to destroy you, okay? So in marriage, you have to be really careful. In our relationship with the Lord, you have to be really careful. It's not something you fool around with. In marriage, there's a covenant made between a man and a woman. When that covenant is not followed, the covenant is broken. God was the first one to have a marriage with Israel, and he was the first one to have a divorce with Israel when they failed to follow the covenant. They're part of the agreement. Today, we also have covenants. And like I said, that's in marriage. There's two parties. You know, we make covenant with other people. There are consequences to breaking that. But God does forgive when the other party repents. Then there's forgiveness. And I spoke about the forgiveness last week. We, in that covenant with God, there's protection. There's long life. There's wealth. There's other material blessings that come along with it. But they must be according to God's will, not ours. God will give these things to us for his purposes. He'll give us protection. He'll give us life. He gives us wealth. He gives us material blessings. But they're all connected to what he wants, not what we want. And like a bride that promised to be loved, is for her to be loved by that person and only that person, not having somebody else, not loving somebody else. So the same thing happens with the covenant with God. It says we are to love him and not other gods. Our loyalty is to God and not others, right? Just like a wife, a bride, she marries her spouse to be loved by him, not by somebody else. He wants her love, not somebody else's love. And so we shouldn't go after other things. Idols, those are other gods. When you are truly loyal to God, then you'll be truly loyal to others. But if you put God first, then you're going to be able to love others. A man or a woman does not love God wholeheartedly, that doesn't love God wholeheartedly. I told this to a young woman many years ago. If this man does not love God, he's not going to love you. So be careful. And God, you know, years went by, and that's exactly what happened. That young man did not love that young woman. And she was warned. She was warned. I warned her. And I told her, he doesn't love God, he's not going to love you. So each covenant bought the next covenant into a better place because of God's grace. It's always been God's grace. God's always had grace on his people, knowing that they would fail because he's God. He knows. He knows the past, the present, and the future. Man broke the agreement with God, the agreement that God had planned in place. But God knew it. He forgave. He put Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It is a better covenant that we don't deserve, but God's grace gives it to us, undeserved favor. That's why Jesus did what he did on the cross. He gave us undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. How many times don't we mess up? This covenant is a better and everlasting one. This one is forever. It's an everlasting one. In marriage, if one does not learn to forgive, one cannot continue in that covenant. So, yes, your spouse is not going to be perfect. They're going to mess up. And you, if you don't know how to forgive, we have to learn to forgive and be forgiven. It must work both ways. We spoke about this last week. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Forgiveness is a covenant between two parties that have to agree on the same terms. Both parties need to walk in forgiveness for this covenant to continue. God forgives us. We need to forgive others, and we need to forgive ourselves. God is always ready to forgive, but people sometimes don't want to, and they hold on to that unforgiveness, and it ruins them. It ruins whatever God wants to do in their lives and how he wants to use them, because it makes you stuck. And some people wonder, well, why am I stuck? It's unforgiveness. The sooner you let go, the freer you will be. Don't break covenant with God. Stay in obedience to his word. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your whole being. Be whole in Jesus' name. I speak that over you right now. Like in marriage, the spouses seek to please one another, right? We are to seek to please God in all his ways. Today, people are in relationships, in and out of relationships. They're like that burger joint, in and out of relationships. They jump from one partner to another, casual sex, casual love. No, you can't do that in a relationship with God. You can't be casual. You have to be purposeful. You must do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not even when you feel like it or when you don't feel like it, you still have to do it. That's why there aren't many great relationships anymore. There are some, and those that have it, they know that it takes work. The people that don't love God with their whole being can't love others truly. The religious leader asked Jesus how they were to love God. And Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." The Jewish people say this every week in their synagogues. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And this is in the Old Testament. That was in Mark 12, 28 to 30. And now that is also quoted in Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5. That's what Jesus told them. He was quoting Deuteronomy. Again, he tells his disciples, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You see? So if you can't love God the way he deserves to be loved, then the love that you receive from him, you can't give it to others because you're not loving God right. These are the two commandments. They hinge on the law and the prophets in Matthew 22, 26 through 40. Your heart. That's where your thoughts are, your feelings, your inclinations, your understanding. God says to guard your heart, right? There we go again with guarding. We have to guard. And Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And then the soul, is breath or spirit. It's your individual self. That's who you are, your soul. Your soul is your thoughts, your choices, what you choose. When you find yourself falling short of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and turn and you want to receive more of him, then you have to turn closer to him. That means that your love tank is empty, and you need to fill up with God. Amen? So you need to fill up with God. See yourself as, okay, I'm not loving people the way I should, then that means my love tank is empty. And so we can't give out what we don't have within, okay? Amen. So enough of that, and I'll start with a word of prophecy. I'll start taking calls now. Okay, and our first caller is, let me look for that person. Okay. Oh, they must have dropped the call. They were the first ones. Anyway, all right. Okay, 804-218, your name and where you're from.
She's from Virginia. Angie,
I'm
from
sorry.
Virginia.
Oh, Miss Angie.
It's Angie.
Okay. Let me put you on mute. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie, Father God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. There's a. Oh, thank you, Lord. I hear the word, the song, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. I see a spring bubbling up. I see a spring bubbling up. The Lord is bubbling up things inside of you that he's putting you, and it's bubbling up, and I believe that you're even sensing that, too. I see that it's like in the outdoors where things are bubbling up in water, like, you know, one of those, I don't know how you call those, but that's what I see. It's almost like a deep pond, and it's bubbling up. It's bubbling up, and it's like spring water coming up. Thank you, Lord, for that water, the water of the word coming up in Miss Angie, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're giving to her, Father God, where she will bring life to those around her, Father God, the life of your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you, Lord, for that bubbling water, that bubbling. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. It's almost like the sun is shining on that well, on that, I don't know how to call it, but it's like a pond or something that's deep with water. I want to say a well, but this is not, it doesn't have anything on the top. It's just on in the open air, and there's bubbling out into the ground. It's bubbling out into the ground. So, that's, thank you, Lord. I see the sun shining on it, and I see, you know, that it's going to provide to others. I'm providing that water of the word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Ms. Angie,
oh,
are you there?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? Yes, ma'am.
I'm doing well, thank you. I was listening to the service, and I can't resist the one. I have to hit the one. It's hard not to push the button. Don't push the button. I'm going to push the button. Don't push the button. I'm going to push the button.
Yeah, and for those that don't understand, if this is your first time, you dial 1 on your keypad, and that will place you in the queue to be prayed for or to have prophecy, okay? So I see a lot of hands up. There's still some that don't have their hands up. Is there anything that you want prayer for, Miss Angie?
No, I was just enjoying the service, and I was just enjoying the message, and I appreciate your prayers, and it's right on because I've been trying to get into the deep wells within myself. So I'm glad that you see it bubbling on top of the water, on top, and seeing daylight.
Yeah, I see the water up high. You know how you see wells? where you have to take a bucket and then bring it down? No, this well I saw was like bubbling over with water. It was like nobody, nothing that had been tapped in there, and that you were going to give water to other people out of what you've gotten. That's what I sense. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was very different from, I didn't even know, I couldn't describe it, but that's what it is, a well. That's what
you know,
I was
the
seeing.
Deep springs that are, the earth has deep springs that spring forth. You know, they're underground. They're underneath, you know, not visible, but they have a natural flow to go into the bigger water, into the, you know, the streams, you know, that it lead into the ocean, to the big water.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but a lot of people drink from the spring water because it brings life to the surrounding. Yeah, it's when you can find that deep, that natural spring of water, it's life. It brings the land to life. So hallelujah, the water is flowing.
Wow.
It's life. I want to live. I want life, God. I want life to the
Amen.
Fullest. You know.
Well,
so.
Let me pray for you. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. I just pray, Father God, to you set Miss Angie in the right place at the right time to be around the people that you want her to share this living water, Father God, this living water for those thirsty souls in the name of Jesus. In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Amen. I actually have never been around a spring. I've never been around a spring, so I didn't even know how to that was a spring.
People will come from well, you know what? When they find a spring, they'll mark it, and people will come around just to get that water.
Oh, really?
And fill their jugs up. Yeah, I mean, you know, have you ever seen natural spring? You know, where they have
Mm-mm.
a pipe coming up out, where they tap
Mm-mm.
in, where the water will come out of the tap, and people can just come by and fill up their containers, and it's clean, natural water.
Well,
uncontaminated.
Well, no, but yes, because I just saw it in what God was showing me. But I physically, personally, I haven't never seen it. So I don't know how it looks.
But a lot, but people will make a special effort to stop and get the natural water.
Wow. Wow.
So,
in what areas do you see that in?
Well, we have natural springs around here. If you Google natural springs, they'll pop
mm-hmm.
up and show you where, you know, you can get. Sometimes it's just a sign on top of a pipe where somebody connected it and said, you know, this is natural
mm-hmm.
spring water coming out. But it's
really?
Tapped from, you know, from beneath the earth.
Oh, I would love to.
Where it's been filtered
like
and cleaned. Yeah.
Does it taste earthy?
Well, no, it's clean. It doesn't have a crisp taste. It doesn't have the chemicals in it.
That's interesting. Well, I have never. I'm gonna Google that and look at that and see what that's all about. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, Miss Angie, is there anything else you'd like to say, or would you like to stay with me and mute yourself?
I'll stay with you. Yeah,
okay.
I'll stay
muted
on my end. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Angie. All right. I'll go to my next caller, 321-230, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Angelise calling from Florida.
Angelise? Oh, Angelise. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let me mute you, and I'll unmute you as soon as I'm done. Father God, thank you, Lord, for Antolise from Florida. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what it is, but I see like a V-shaped bowl, and in that bowl I see like a salad, like a different vegetables and a lot of lettuce and things like that. I don't know if this has to do with health. Yeah, I think it has to do with health. There's many different types of veggies in there, cucumbers and lettuce and other things seem faded in there. I believe that the Lord is giving you victory over your health in your eating habits. He's going to give you the victory. Thank you, Lord, and he's guiding you to know what you have to eat. Thank you, Lord. I just see that like a V-shaped bowl. I guess it's V for victory. and I see those vegetables in there, a salad vegetables. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Antolise, Father God. You're giving her the victory. And Father God, either as she steps out or she's already in that process, Lord, we thank you for the victory that you won for her, Father God, for her healthy body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Antolise, are you there?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. I haven't been feeling well, and I've been, like, trying to do better eating cleaner, but I know a lot of it probably has to do with my diet. And I've been starting to eat a little better, and I've been on antibiotics for, like, the past few days. I've just started kind of feeling better today, but, yeah, I haven't really been feeling the greatest.
The antibiotics tend to, let me just make it clear, tends to constipate people. It kills a lot of the good bacteria in your body. And so there's two ways of doing this. Through probiotics, the more probiotics you have in a product, and the ones that are usually in refrigerators are the ones that are alive. They were live cultures. It takes a while to build that up again. And also eating sauerkraut, which is a food that has probiotics, kimchi, the Korean cabbage kimchi, that also has probiotics in it. And kombucha is another probiotic that you can also try. They're really good for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah.
So just think about those things. That also helps you. Yogurt has probiotics. Even in animals, when you give them plain yogurt, when they're not feeling well and they can't go to the bathroom, you give them plain yogurt without flavor, and the probiotics in that helps them. It helps.
Yeah.
If you can handle dairy, some people can't handle dairy. So that's what I saw. I think it's more in the salads that you're going to be eating clean, and God is giving you victory. That's it. You're going to get victory in that, and put probiotics in your body. If you can't afford it, well, use those foods. But
I have some probiotics. I was taking some. So I need
Garden of Life is good. Yeah, Garden of Life is good. Miss Angie, do you have me on mute? Because I'm hearing echoes. Okay. Miss Angie, do you have anything?
I think it's coming from her.
Okay.
I just took you off of mute. I'm not making noise.
Do you have anything for Miss Antolise?
No, just that if you, just be mindful of what you're eating, like she talked about, and, just stay conscious of what you're eating and make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids, water, tea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stay away from
yeah.
the sugary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the probiotic does kill your good bacteria, the good and the bad, everything. It doesn't have restrictor mm-hmm. which bacteria kills. It kills everything. And so before, the doctors would never tell people that they needed to build up their bacteria in their gut. And so kimchi, sauerkraut, and probiotics, live culture probiotics are very good. The more the cultures, the better.
Yeah.
And study up on it, read it up, read up about it. Go to YouTube and you can see what people say about it before you do anything. And talk to your
yeah.
doctor, because if you're taking medication for other things, you don't want to offset whatever you're taking with whatever, you know. But mostly, most doctors will tell you to take yogurt. Yogurt with good cultures. I remember as a kid, there used to be a commercial, a Dannon commercial. And the Dannon commercial would have yogurts, and they would put Russian people that were living 100 years eating yogurt because yogurt was supposed to be good for you. But we didn't understand what it was all about back then. But now we do. It's the culture, the bacteria in the yogurt. Amen.
Amen.
Is there
right.
anything else?
Actually,
is there any
yeah,
other
well,
thing you like prayer?
Yes.
Go ahead.
First, I was going to say over my health, but that you went straight to that. And the last time I had called, like, a couple weeks ago, and I was telling you about me quitting my job and for putting the food in for my job, because I felt like God told me to quit. Well, that got cut short because I ended up getting in a car accident that ruined my car. And thank God everyone was okay. Well, wasn't, you know, severely injured or anything. But, yeah, so, like, my car is ruined. And it was, like, a weird thing with the insurance. So I'm just praying that somehow I get another car soon.
Okay, we can pray for
that.
We'll lift that up in prayer to the Lord, because he's the one that's going to do it. And, Lord, we just lift up and police from Florida. We ask you, Father God, you hear all the issues she's been going through, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you make a way for her, Lord, that all these insurance issues, Father God, clear up in her favor, and that you would bless her, Father God, with a new vehicle, a better vehicle than she had before. We ask you, Father God, that you meet all her needs, Father God, and that anything in her body that got hurt or things that are not seen, that you bring healing to right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And anyone else that was with her in the car, Lord, we just pray that you bring healing to their bodies in Jesus' name, that no one be hurt, whether in her car or in someone else's car, that it'll be that people will not be hurt in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen.
Ms. Angie? Miss Andy?
Yes.
Do you have anything for us?
No. Just
okay.
I don't know what's wrong with your insurance situation, but you know, just know that God knew ahead of time and working things out.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Antolise, well, God bless you, and I pray that everything work out for you and that God is with you. And thank God that you're okay.
Thank you so much.
God bless. All right. Okay. Our next caller, 903-918, your name and where you're from.
This is Michelle from Texas.
Miss Michelle from Texas. Okay. I'll put you on mute. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Michelle from Texas. Thank you, Father God, for Michelle from Texas. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for what you're doing in her life, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I see you going through a wild time. I see you going through a wild time, but I see that the Lord has put a hat on your head and giving you the strength to deal with what you're dealing with, and that it's not going to take you out, but you're going to take it out and have fun while you're doing it. It's like you're riding something that's wild, and you're like, no, your attitude is going to be different on how you see things, Michelle. I see that your attitude is changing on how you look at things. And because of that, the things, the stresses of the world are not going to stress you out. They're not going to stress you out because you're looking at it in a different light. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that healing of the way that she has a perspective on things, Lord. You're changing that. You're giving her new eyes to see, to see things differently. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Hi, Michelle. How are you? Hello, Michelle. Okay. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I said I'm doing fine. And you?
Good, good. How has your week been?
It's been kind of rough, but I'm hanging in there.
That's what I was seeing, that you were just hanging in there. Let me say how I saw it. I saw you, that God gave you a cowgirl hat, and you got on a horse, and you were holding on, but you weren't seeing it as bad, but you were seeing it as, okay, I'm going to do this, because God's giving you the strength to do it. That's how I was seeing you. And I saw, like, people, like, around, like, cheering you on. You're like, yeah, go for it, go for it. What exactly are you going through? What are you going through? I'm sorry, I don't mean to, make light of it, but, I mean, this is what God's showing me.
Oh, yeah, I know you're not. But I just had a situation with my daughter.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Yeah. Is she a teenager or an older daughter?
She's older.
Older daughter? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could be challenging sometimes. But you know what? The older they get, they realize that mamas aren't crazy. That mama was right. You know, in a lot of things we tell them. And you just continue praying for her, and you'll see that there's, just let the Lord deal with her. Let the Lord deal with her as you're dealing with that. And enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride while you're seeing the changes, because she's gonna see. And Lord, we just lift up Michelle's daughter. Father God, whatever the issue is, Lord, I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you deal with that child, Father God, or this woman. I ask you, Father God, that you would open her eyes to see the things that her mother's trying to show her. I pray that you open her eyes and you show her, Father God, the way that she should go, the things she should do, what she should not do, and guide her, Father God. Give her the guidance that she needs, Father God, and give Michelle peace. Peace and peace that she knows that you have it in your hands, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you have anything else for prayer?
No, that's what I was going to ask prayer for, was my daughter. Because my heart was kind of heavy concerning her.
Yeah, when it comes to our children, sometimes because we know them so well, sometimes we think, but you know what? God is always in control. He will do things. I remember a friend that had a concern about his daughter, and we prayed about it,
And do you know, we asked the Lord to deal with that child's heart. The conviction came on so strong. She came and apologized to my friend. And immediately that prayer worked. And sometimes they don't work so fast, but, you know, it can be a wild ride, you know. Sometimes our children, you know, can be a little on the wild side, you know. But I just pray, Father God, that you just place someone in her path that will explain things to her in a way that she'll understand, that'll make sense to her, and that will open her eyes, Father God, her spiritual eyes, to what the enemy can do and will do if she's not obedient, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, sometimes it's rough. You know, we love our children. We want them to go, you know, in the right way. But your prayers and your concerns for her, the prayers are lifted up. And so leave it there. Rest in the Lord. And yes, it's a wild ride with our children, especially teenagers. Teenagers are something sometimes. But we just thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. Do you have anything else you want prayer for? A testimony?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right, Michelle. God bless you, and you have a wonderful week. And I pray that you have a testimony when you come back about what's going on, okay? God bless
okay.
you.
Okay, I pray I do too. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right. 334-590, your name and where you're from.
It's Jayla.
Jayla. Where are you from, Jayla?
I'm originally from Alabama.
Okay. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll call you back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Jayla. Oh, no, that's not it. Sorry. Okay. All right, Jayla. Thank you, Lord, for Jayla. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing her, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, right now I'm not getting anything. Thank you, Lord. Miss Andrew, are you getting anything for Jayla?
Well, I just wanted to ask her, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Jayla? Hello?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot to unmute her.
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You know, I heard something about some fears. That says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. There's some fears that you're going through. But God says, don't fear. Leave it in my hands. I'm here to protect you. Do not fear. Do not fear. That's all I'm getting. Are you getting anything, Miss Andy? I began to hear something about school, but I'm not sure about it. Something about school at first, and like something coming at you about school. Well, how are you, Jayla? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Are you the Jayla from a long time ago?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think I remember now. Thank you, Lord. The Jayla. Because I talk to so many people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's all I got at the beginning. I just, you know, a real glimpse about school. So
something about school, mm-hmm. and I saw something like large coming up and almost hitting you in the face with it, like a force that was coming up, and that's it. That's all I saw.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Mhm. Are you okay? Everything's all right?
Yeah, I think everything is pretty good. What I was calling for prayer for originally was like prayer for like me knowing rather to like open up my heart or like guard my heart. And that's been something that I've like been struggling with, I guess you would say, in general.
And when you talk about guarding your heart, is this in relationships?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we should always guard our heart. According to God, we need to be careful to not let anything come in, because the enemy will sometimes, you know, when people are not walking with God, they can be used against, you know, you later on. But that's why it's so important to follow, to look at people that are like-minded, that are walking with God. Because like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that when someone loves God, truly loves God, they're going to love others. And when you are having a relationship where you are going to get married or you're going to start dating or whatever, that person, if it's the right person, if they're going to look out for your interests, your best interests. They're not going to do anything to hurt you, to do anything to cause you to hurt, but they're going to look for your best interests. You know, just like we look for what's best in the Lord, what God wants. You know, what does my God want? How can I love God in the ways that he wants me to love him, you know? And so it's not selfish love. It's about the other person. So if you look at that and how this person treats you, are they godly? Are they seeking the Lord? Do they love the Lord more than you? Do they love them, God, more than he loves you? Then that says a lot. Does that person run to God for whatever issues or ask for prayer or seeks God for prayer and always wants what God wants above everything else? Then he's going to do what's best for you, because whatever God says is going to be best for you. And I know it's hard, especially, you know, when there's an attraction. So, I mean, you have to be really careful. The way that they act, the way they treat you, the way they treat others, are they that godly person?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you make a covenant with someone to marry someone, that's for life, and you got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's hard to undo. That's like for life. I mean, marriage is for life. The only thing that can undo something like that is if a spouse commits adultery and is unrepented and does not want to repent and wants to stay in their adultery. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. But everything else, even the worst kind of, you know, it's too late. That's what courtship is about, to give you time to see. It gives you time to see. And one of my advices to anyone is see how they respond with other people. How do they act around other people? That tells you a lot. That can tell you a lot, how people treat them, how, you know, you can see a lot of that. I mean, they can play a game for a while, but the true colors come out, especially with other people. True colors end up coming out. So you can see a lot more because they're off their guard, you know. They're not, oh, okay, you know, I can't pretend. You know, something's going to happen. You're going to see things. So, but basically, are they a godly person? Are they seeking? You're not going to find anybody perfect. There's nobody perfect. The only perfect is Jesus. God the Father is perfect. But we are not perfect. And so within the boundaries of what is a good thing. You know, you follow that and that person, how much that person loves their prayer life, their walk with God, how they are with the others. Another big tail sign is if a man loves his mother, he's going to love you too.
Mm.
A man that doesn't love his mother will not love you because he's got issues with women.
Right.
So that says a lot. That says a lot. Although I've seen godly men that, you know, have issues with their mother because truly their mother had issues. But for the most part, you know, a man that loves his mother will love you too, because that's part of being having a relationship with
mm-hmm.
others, including parents, you know. And
mm-hmm.
This is all that comes to mind. Amen. And so take it slow and steady. Don't go over rushing, because it's hard to undo once you've made a commitment.
Wow.
Slow and steady, okay? It gives you
mm-hmm.
nothing rushed. Nothing rushed is ever a good thing. Nothing rushed is ever a good thing. It's always best to do things slow and steady with prayer and seeking the Lord in everything. And if you have this gut feeling about it and you're not easy, you have an easiness about it, that's a sign right there too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So be real careful on that one. You can't undo that easy. That'll involve too many things later on. It could involve children later on once that relationship is started, covenant is started with that. It's, you know, better to undo things early on than later on. And like I say, you know, it's a man that tells you to go over to bed with them, or a woman,
mm-hmm.
in general, does not love you. They're only after one thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They don't respect themselves and they don't respect you. And that's not the kind of relationship you want. Trust me, you'll attract the right things when it comes. And you'll know it.
Okay.
Amen. I know it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's not easy. But stay filled up with the Lord and he'll give you the strength. You know, because that's everybody's dream, to have somebody, a companion to have fun with and talk to and enjoy and be with. But there's got to be respect. There's got to be love.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be love for others. And, you know, because let me tell you, once you do get married, there's all of a sudden the women that did not like that man, they're going to start liking him once they know that they have someone. Because the Jezebels come out. You know, the Jezebels come out and they want what you have.
Mm.
Not because they want it. It's just that you have it, so they want it. It's a jealousy
mm-hmm.
thing. It's a jealousy thing. Or a woman, they'll go after a woman because they see them with a man. It's a jealousy thing they see, but it's mainly a lot in women. In women. Men do it too. Men do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, slow and steady. Don't go too fast. See and allow yourself to spend time with other people and that person. And you can see a lot of things, and other people can see things. You know, the
mm-hmm.
attitude, the temperament, all that stuff. And remember, forgiveness, just because something's happened doesn't mean anything either. We have to learn to forgive each other if we want God to forgive us. Things happen. But sometimes people are truly repentant when they are, you know, sorrowful of what they did. They may have said or done something
mm-hmm.
that doesn't, you know, discard them, disqualify them. But you have to put it on a paper and see, compare what I do like, what I do not like. Lord, and God will, you know, God will show you. He'll show you in his word. The type of person that's supposed to be with us. If we're godly, what a godly person looks like
mm-hmm.
for us. Okay? So
okay.
I just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you give Jayla the eyes to see and help her to know that sometimes intuition is of you, Lord, showing us certain things. that not, like my grandmother would say, not everything that shines is gold. I pray, Father God, that she'll be able to discern, that you give her high discernment, Father God. Give her high discernment to know how to discern this, Father God, in, either for her life or not for her life. And I pray that, Father God, if there's some hurts in her, Father God, that is not allowing her to see things, and it may be good for her, that you bring healing. I pray for healing in her soul of anything or other relationships that may have hurt her, that you bring healing, that you fill her with your love, Father God, so that she'll be able to discern what's correct and that she will not look with the eyes of hurt, but that she will look with look at others and other people, potential people in her life with healed mm-hmm. heart, and not a guarded heart because of the pain that she's had in the past. But bring that healing right now in the name of Jesus, that she would know in her heart that she is loved and that you are there with her, giving her the guidance in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Is there anything else you'd like to pray about that you want to touch in prayer?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Don't get discouraged, you know, the right one. If this is the one, or, you know, it'll come in its right time. When the time is, it'll happen. But if it's not happening, we can't push it to happen, because we can push into the wrong direction. Because if it's not happening, then, you know, you have to say, okay, you know, well, what are you doing? Are you going to stay with me or let go and let me move on? Let me move on. You know, there's days ahead. I don't want to waste them. If you don't want to do, you know, want to be that person. And so you let it be, or you stay, remain friends and let it go. And just, you know, maybe it's not the right time or not the right person. So, but the Lord will help you and give you that discernment. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you. Is there anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Miss Angie, you have anything for her?
No, I just think that you gave her very good advice and follow wisdom.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well,
the Bible tells you to seek out the older women.
Were you not the girl that would come on the show and help me on the show? Jayla?
No.
No? Okay. On the show, yeah. It was a long time ago. I think I'm confusing you with someone else. All right. Okay, Jayla. Well, God bless you, and God give you that discernment really strong. Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. And the love of the Lord be with you always. He loves you always. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. All right. This block talk doesn't go off. All right. 251-222-229. Your name and where you're from?
Hi, this is Sarah from Alabama.
Sarah from Alabama. Okay, I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see a turtle and I see a rabbit. And sometimes you feel like you're the turtle. But you know what? The turtle is the one that won the race. Slow and steady, the rabbit was all over the place. And sometimes we want to be like the rabbit, thinking that we could cover more ground and do more and this and that. But the rabbit got tired. And it was the turtle that moved on. The turtle was the one that made it to the end. They couldn't go any faster because it couldn't, but it made it to the end. So just because you feel like you're slow doesn't mean you are slow. You are at the pace that God wants you in. And don't be frustrated with yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're having her do, Lord. There's a season for being fast. There's a season for slowing down. There's a season for everything. I just thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Father God, because you're showing her there's a purpose and a time and season for everything in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sarah.
Yes.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. God is really using you to, you know, as a spiritual mouthpiece, because I was feeling like I wanted to be the rabbit at one point, where I wanted to be, you know, getting everything done. And then through the race, I was like, boy, I'm tired, because I just got off work about, I want to say, around 6:30 Central Time, and I went in at 10:30. And I went in at 10:30 this morning and worked till about 6:30. And I felt I was all over the place, but at the end of the day, I was tired. I was like, I better slow down.
Oh, that makes sense now. Oh, wow, that makes sense. That makes sense now. Well, Miss Turtles, what are you going to do about it?
I don't know if I should just take it slow, and what do you think? If I should just, because what I was doing is basically we were working in online orders, then we turned around, then I turned around and went into the customer care room, and then I was like, boy, I'm all over the place. But at the end of the day, I felt like the turtle, like I should just slow everything down and take it at a smooth rate.
Mm-hmm. You just said it. You just said it. Sometimes doing, you know, that one thing and doing it right and allowing yourself the time to learn that well, and then you can do other things. But moving from one place can cause a lot of stress. And we as women have to be real careful with stress, because it depletes you. It depletes you. It's like a candle that you burn in both ends. It burns quicker, and you deplete your vitamins and all your nutrition a lot faster. So slow and steady, you get your rest, you eat, and that in the long run will get you to where you're going. I remember this one girl, and I've said this story before. She was a Hispanic girl, and she had been working at a daycare in the military, the military facility to daycares. And she didn't know very much English, but she stuck with her job. And so people were, like, really tired of that job, and everybody left. But she stayed faithful, and she stayed faithful. And even though she didn't know how to do a lot of things, she stayed faithful. Do you know that eventually she called me up. This was years ago. She called me up and said, look, I came out in, you know, our community newspaper, and they had given her an award for being a good employee. It was because she was, you know, slow and steady. She kept doing what she had to do, even though she wasn't the best at it, but she kept doing it. And they awarded her. They gave her some money and things like that. And she was the biggest happy camper that I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, that was so sweet. A sweet lady, very sweet lady. So, Sarah, it's not how perfect you do things. It's that, you know, you have to protect yourself, because you could be all over the place, and you know what? Then you want to give up. You get tired. What did the bunny do? The rabbit got tired, and it didn't make it till the end. Remember the analogy of the story? So stay slow and steady. Do what you have to do. You're not perfect, but you stay there. And that's the good employee. That's the employee that they want, the one that's faithful, that comes every day. Not perfect, but the one that's there every day doing their job. And eventually, over time, you're going to dominate whatever it is that you're learning. You're going to dominate it, and you're going to get good at it. You're going to be really good at it. But stay in one place. Don't jump around the place, because you're not going to make it to the end. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Today, you know, we're getting, you know, yeah, I mean, today we were it was like one person, the lady that I work with online orders, she wanted me over there, and then the girl didn't come in for the fitting area and to do fits and everything, the fitting area and everything, and she didn't come in, and they wanted me over there. So I was like, whoa, this is a little bit too much. But you know what? After hearing what the Lord told you today, I think I'm going to slow down because I can't do it all.
You're going to burn out quick, and you're going to want to quit.
Yeah. Yep.
So just rest, take care of yourself, and if you keep doing that over time, and wanting to, you know, show that other people that you know how to do this and that you're, no. Just do what you have to do. Take care of yourself. Pace yourself. I have a friend that always tells me, pace yourself. And I was like, because I'm like a little rabbit sometimes too. I'm all over the place and I'm like, and then I'm burnt out. And when you're burnt out, you feel down, and you know, and it affects your emotions too, even if it's just because you're tired. And that's dangerous too, because when you're tired and hungry, that's when the devil comes to tempt. So take care of your bodies. And we talked about that earlier. We have to take care of our bodies spiritually and physically speaking, because the enemy comes in right when you're the most tired. And I talked about that as a security officer, that it got the coldest when the sun was almost going to come out, the day of the day breaking. It got really cold, and that's when you were really tired, and oh, you're getting bombarded from the outside, and you're from the inside you're tired, and that's when you want to go home. You don't want to do any more. You're like, oh, I'm too tired, I can't give any more, like my nails hurt. There was a saying that my grandmother would say, oh, my nails hurt. That's how tired she was. And I'm like, your nails don't hurt, Grandma. Your nails don't hurt. But it was an exaggerated form of saying, you know, everything about me hurts. So we have to take care of ourselves. We have to eat right and take care of our nightly sleep and have a pattern of sleeping. Good sleeping time, a good healthy sleeping time is always at the same time. And for the same amount of hours. And you can always be excellent at what you do at work. But if you're not taking care of your sleep pattern, your eating pattern, then you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be hyper because you're trying to keep awake and you're tired, and it's a mess.
Yeah. I better just, you know, calm down and do one job, complete it, and then one task, complete it, and then feel, you know, good about yourself. You're not just running your energy down. So that's something we all need to know, because you can be so, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, but if you run your energy level down, that really can be harmful to your health, like you were saying. So I went today, and because I did that after I, you know, got off work and everything, went and bought some Dr. Kill's, what is that, Dr. Kill's, let me think of it, the Epsom salt or whatever. I went and bought that, and it helps to heal the muscles and all of that kind of stuff. So I said, I definitely need it.
Yeah, and I used to be at certain jobs before, customer service, where they would want you to work extra hours. And I was like, I need the money. But you know what? Once I took the extra hours, I was so tired and everybody was refreshed. And I'm like, why am I killing myself over here doing all this? It's not worth it. Just work what you have to work and keep yourself at a pace, and you'll be happier. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Not worth it. You only have certain hours that you can give. If you give more, you're more tired, and you could open yourself up to sicknesses when you're under stress. You could open yourself to, you know, the colds and different things. You lower your immune system. So it's healthy. And also spend time with the Lord. The more time you have, that little extra time, give it to the Lord. Spend time with Him instead of working extra hours. Yeah, you need it, but you know what? We need God more than we need money, because God is the one that provides for us. He's the one that supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. It's not us. It's not our ability. It's not in our strength. God is the one. God can do the things that we can't do. He can open the doors for something else that pays way more, and you stumble into it without even knowing it. But put God first in everything you do, at the extra time that you have spent with him. Place worship music or put CDs on, like I do in my car. You know, when I'm going from place to place, I put my Bible CDs on there, and I could hear it. I could hear it like a story being told, and I could hear the scriptures and everything. And so, you know, infuse yourself with God. You'll never lose with that. But giving to the world, they always want more. If you give more, they want more.
Yeah, okay. I can understand what you're saying about that. And, you know, I thought about going back to the preschool, but it's a little ways outside of my home, about 15, 20 minutes at the most. And, you know, I missed the babies and everything, so I'm playing on I'm praying on that as well, you know, maybe because I have my weekends free. I don't have to worry about, okay, I've got to get this Sunday together and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, we have to be proactive in seeking what God wants for us. Sometimes at first it doesn't seem well, like, you know, you may have to choose a different job that may pay a little bit less, but maybe give you the weekends for you to spend with the Lord, or more time to spend with God in the evenings. It all depends, you know. And you at the same time pray, and then we just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you make a way for Sarah, Father God. Help her, Father God, to stay strong and where she's at. And Lord, I pray that if there's an opportunity for her in the current job, Lord, to have those weekends open to her, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you give her favor for that, that they will give it to her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that that opportunity would open up for her, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I love you and everybody on the line, and I just wanted to say happy Resurrection Sunday on tomorrow.
Amen. Well, God bless you, my dear. It's always a pleasure. You have a blessed week.
Okay, you too. Thank the Lord for you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, 225-454, your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Karen. I'm from Louisiana.
Karen?
Yeah, Karen.
Okay, now give me a minute and I'll mute you and then I'll come back to you. All right. Lord, we thank you for Karen from Louisiana, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for Karen, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You know, when I first mentioned your name, I saw like a front porch and flowers in the front porch, but there was a lot of other debris, and I feel like the Lord is saying that he's showing you how to make things beautiful again. Make things beautiful around you, and it's starting from the front porch of your life. The front porch of your life. He's making things beautiful again, and moving the dead things away, and bringing beauty in those areas. You know how, you know, when you do spring cleaning and there's a lot of old leaves, dead things, dead plants, dead things from the winter that was left behind. And I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, that he's showing you, and I already see some plants with flowers there, making it beautiful. I see that you're already working on it, and God is going to help you to do that more. And it's starting, he's already starting to make things beautiful
in your life in the name of Jesus. But it's the beginning works in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for Karen. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as she lets you in into her house, not only in the front of her house, but that she lets you into the inner parts of her house, that you're going to show her how to make things beautiful from the inside out. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I see that. I see that it's already started in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. Bless her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
I am.
How are you?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Is there anything else that we could pray for you, or do you want to give a testimony?
No, honestly, I was just called to listen in. I didn't really have a whole lot to say. We have things we've been praying about, but I think God has heard us.
Well,
you know, sometimes you make your prayers.
I saw something happening. Yeah, I saw something happening. So that confirms what I was saying, that I see some things that God is making beautiful. So you continue doing that. And do you want to give a testimony of what God is doing? We love testimony.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I feel like God is always doing something.
Well, do share.
I mean, I guess one of the things that just kind of hit me when you said things are becoming beautiful, God's making things beautiful with what's surrounding and even through the debris, is that I feel like it was a confirmation, because one of the songs that just keeps playing in my mind, I don't know why, I haven't even heard the song in a while, but like one of the hooks is that he's making all things new and I'll follow him always. So I just believe Holy Spirit is making some things new.
Wow.
He's making it new. He's making it beautiful, you know. He hears us. He's answering some prayers, and we just humble ourselves, and we're praying to him constantly. So that in itself is just a testimony of how God just always confirms his word. He shows you different things in different ways, whether it's just a stone that drops in your spirit, a word you don't know where it came from, and then you have somebody come along and just confirm another piece of it. So it's very encouraging to keep on keeping on. That's why I say, like, you don't even think to pray for? Well, I've been praying for a lot of things. So, you know, sometimes you feel like your prayers are on repeat, but God has heard us. So
yes,
I'm walking in the realm of being heard, and that God is making things new, beautiful. He's working it out for our good, even when it seems like things look rough or dirty. Some good is about to come out of it. So that's what God is working on in our lives.
I just felt in my spirit that somebody on the line, that's the same thing that's happening to them too. So, yeah, you were thinking that. You were thinking that, that feels like me. Yeah, it's about you too. God is a good God. He's got enough for everybody.
Yes,
he
does.
Wow,
so
that's
sure
awesome.
Does.
Ms. Karen,
and may he pull out his spirit
on
us all.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you keep doing whatever it is that you're doing and keep seeking him. He's changing things, making things beautiful. Allow him, you know, and even in the places that you don't want to show him, let him go there. You know, that there's some rooms, you know, when people come into your house and that's the messy room. Let him in the messy room. Let him in the messy room. He'll make it beautiful. Amen.
Yes, yes. Amen. Prayer, supplication, make those requests made known to them. You know, just keep praying and pressing forward, everybody.
Yes, and be encouraged. He's hearing your prayers.
Amen.
Ms.
Amen.
Angela, do you have anything for Ms. Karen? Ms. Angie. Oh, I guess she's probably stepped out. All right. Well,
No. Thank you, Ms. Carrie, for calling. God bless you, and I pray that the Lord do much, much more, more beautiful things in your life. Be blessed.
Thanks, God.
Have a great week.
Same to you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Next call is 248-933. Your name and where you're from.
My name is 935. My name is Camario, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Camario, Detroit. Okay. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll call you back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Camario, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the things that you're doing in his life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I see a person that I believe is what God is showing me about you. This look of like, what? That's not me at all. And I just see that you're feeling like other people are misjudging you, and they don't really know the real you. And that you have, like, your mouth open because they don't get you. They don't see who you are. And that's who you really are is a different person from the person that they are perceiving. And you have much to give. You have much to give. But I see that as you give yourself more and more to the Lord's going to turn those things around. And then it'll become clear to others what they have misjudged. And that the things that God is going to show you is going to turn a lot of things around. Okay? So thank you, Lord, for Camario, Lord. I thank you, Lord. For Camario, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because the perception of who he is going to come to light, who they're going to see who the real Camario is in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, because of the things you're going to do in his life, the things you're going to turn around in his life, the things because of that those perceptions, Lord, that things are going to turn around because of that. But I hear that, you know, give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord, and he's going to turn those things around. That the things that people see that you who you're not, they're going to see the true you in Jesus' name. The true you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Camario in Jesus' name. Camario, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Is there a prayer or a testimony you want to give?
I would just say that I think you're saying to me that because I have a perception of me with kind of people, things like that. It has just started, and I started to notice it because it's being revealed to me. So I think the Lord is basically saying give it to him. Because I'm not sure why people have been this perception of me, of what type of person I am or where my heart is at.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, she was on point. Because started to happen, and I'm going back home in a few, because I'm currently in Oklahoma, but I'm about to graduate from ORU, and we'll be going back home, and then I just noticed that certain people have certain perceptions of me that is very inaccurate, and so I was like, you know, I kind of was like, okay, what is this, Lord? You know, because I mean, I never really cared about how people felt about me, you know, but when there's a misjudgment about you, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, like I actually do care about that because you need to get it right. So, but anyway, I think I just probably need prayer because I've been talking to a specific person, and I don't know what to do with this person. Like I said, I just go ahead and cut it off. Or
why do you feel that way, that you want to cut it off?
I feel that way because, I don't know, I think I'm starting to sense that this person is not for me. Because I've been talking to her since September, and then our callings are not being aligned from what I'm looking at, because I've just been paying attention. And
when you say your calling's not being aligned, what do you mean by that?
Well, because I'm called to ministry, and I've been, the Lord been dealing with me heavy about maintaining focus on that area, and I've noticed.
And so do you believe that she has to have do you believe that she has to have the same calling?
Not saying calling in ministry, but it has to have some alignment, meaning that she could be called into, like, I don't know. I think it's not just about the calling, it's our pathways as well. Like, eventually she's going to be moving outside of the state. And then with me, I will be in Michigan, you know. And and so she's called in business and things like that, but not, like I said, not necessarily means that she's for me because of the if she's called in business or ministry or not. But it does, that part does have to be in some type of alignment, though, with our pathways. I say that.
Well, sometimes people are called, and they may have different callings, but sometimes it blends together. Like, I know this lady evangelist, and her husband is not an evangelist. He is more for the business side of things. And so when she goes to, you know, where she has to minister, her husband takes care of the business side of it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the callings. I think it has to do with how you feel about her.
Well, you're right. There is, you're supposed to, like, that's alignment, though, with the evangelist and with the business person. That's not what I was referencing. Because I do agree that those two align together, because she's called in business. I'm called in business, too, but I'm also called in ministry, because I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I have both sides. But with her, it's not that I don't feel like I don't like something the way I feel about her. I actually like her. It's just that I'm not seeing like our pathways moving in the same direction. So with her,
you're not feeling it
home,
in your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not the one.
Yeah,
you're having too many. Yeah, you know, you're already explaining it. That's what's in your heart. It's coming out of your mouth, and that's what's in your heart. You like her, but there's something about it that you just, and it's the Holy Spirit showing you, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong. You could, you know, be friends and wish her well. Maybe the right one is still to come, you know?
Yeah.
And you're feeling kind of guilty about it, but it don't feel. It's okay. It's okay. You know, not every godly people that, you know, looks good and everything is for you. It may not be the right one. Maybe she's supposed to be somebody else's spouse, and you're supposed to be somebody else's. So sounds like what you're saying. It's like you're not feeling it in your heart.
Well, I just started to feel this way, I guess. Because I didn't feel this way at first. At first, I was like all in, and she was all in with me as well. But it's just, I'm starting.
Could it be that she's the person that's seeing you differently? Remember that what I had started saying, that there is some, you know, that people are seeing you different. They don't really know who you really are. Could it be that? Could it be that she's the one that's seeing you different?
Well, she actually had said something to me when I was with her back in, when I was there in March, and we hung out and stuff, and it was said to her of something about me that was very inaccurate, and she said it to me, and then she revealed to me and told me that I am nothing that I was told, because she hung out with me, and I guess she saw my heart and saw the real me. So it really kind of, I guess with her, it kind of wanted, it translated to her, that I'm this good guy. And she wanted to talk to me more, but because of her job, well, had told her that she will eventually leave the state of Michigan and they will put her somewhere else that is out of her hands, that everything started to not decline. And so I've kind of been very observant and hearing from God on this. And you're right, it is coming out of my mouth. And, yeah. Because it was something that I really wanted. I was excited about. I at least graduated from college and didn't come home and be dating somebody. I was like, man, this is perfect, you know, but it's out that way.
No, you never know. Just leave it in prayer and let God bring more clarity to you as to what to do. And if it is, you know, that it's not for you, then that's going to get stronger. But if it's the enemy that's trying to stop something, because remember, the enemy will, when something is for you, the enemy will try to block it.
Yeah.
But I think that there's some disillusion in you with things that may have happened, and you don't want it anymore. You didn't, you know. But, I wouldn't let go of the friendship. You never know. Because that has happened to some people, you know. They let go of each other, and then their fondness grows even stronger later on.
Yeah.
And but if it's not, it's best to just let it go, but not to let it go to the point where if there is still something there and it's the enemy, as you're praying, the Lord will show you. And it'll grow stronger. But if it's not, well, then, you know, it'll be easier for you to let go.
Yeah.
You know, but what's for us and what God has meant for us, that's for you. No matter if you try to push it away and not want it, it'll come back some way or another.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would consider spending more time with the Lord, putting him first, because putting him first, everything else is added on. Everything will be added on what's for you. Okay?
Amen.
You will never lose by spending more time with the Lord. Never. You will never lose. Now, putting more time into people and neglecting the Lord, then we're talking about serious problems.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have one more thing. Because I graduate, I'm seeking the Lord about it, so I just need prayer on that. I'm seeking the Lord about because I'm waiting on my pastor to let me know if I'm going to be on staff with him, but I'm not really sure if that's the case.
What I was saying, perception. As you seek the Lord, seek the Lord, and the Lord sees your heart more and more to the things of God, it's going to be the Lord showing the pastor that it's you.
Yeah.
But if it's not, it's going to be somewhere else. Either way, as you spend time with the Lord, God's going to make a way. Your gifts will make a way. Will open doors for you. You don't have to make them open. They don't open on because of your strength. They open because God opens them for you because of your what he put in you. So make that stronger. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, make that stronger. And then you're going to see doors open.
Yeah.
Yossi's door is open because that anointing is going to be on you and is going to attract the where you're supposed to be. Okay? So, I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. Remember that scripture. Let me look for that scripture for you.
Matthew.
That way you can. Aha! Okay, so you know the scripture.
Yeah,
6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay? So you never fail in that
you.
One. The more you seek him, the more anointing that comes on your life. And, I mean, it opens doors for that calling. The calling will be open to you. You don't have to do anything. You just put him first.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Anything
right,
else
thank you
would you like prayer for anything else or give a testimony?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, God bless you, and I pray you have a great week.
You
Miss
too,
Angie, do you have anything for Camario? Miss Angie. She must have stepped out. Okay. All right, Camario, you'll be blessed. And you have
okay,
a
you
nice
too.
Sunday tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, I have other callers on the line, but you haven't raised your hand by dialing 1. You can raise your hand, and I'll take your call. Other than that, I won't take it. I'll honor that you don't want to talk. Is there anything else anybody want to say? All right. I'm going to play a song if nobody's going to say anything. Let me play the song.
I was still with you. I just didn't have anything to say, so I couldn't get the button to unlock.
All right. I'll wait for whoever wants ministry. You can continue putting yourself on mute, Ms. Andy. I'm going to play a song. Christ is risen.
Okay.
Christ is risen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind and now I see. Hallelujah, Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcome home, the sinner now is sweet. For the God who died came back to life, and everything will change. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your crown? I feel a key that is broken. He lives on every day. He's cut off his heart. Oh, death, where is your sting? I'm see is God, you know, not the beauty of your face. Through tears and joy, I lift my voice in every empty grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Christ is Risen, Philip Wickham. If you want prayer ministry tonight on your keypad, on your phone, dial 1. I see people on the line, but they don't have their hands raised up. I'll give another opportunity. I'll play another song. And after this, if no one wants ministry, I will...
Jesus, forgive me. God, I fall down to
David Crowder, Forgiven, Pure Heart Church Easter Video. All right. I have another caller, 951-966. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Regina. How are you?
Hi, Regina. God bless you.
Hello.
I'll put you on mute and I'll call you back. I'll get back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For my sister Regina. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in her life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the word restoration, restoring, something being restored. I thank you, Lord, that the things that you thought were not, and that God is restoring some things to you. Restoration, like restoring. Give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Well, you know, what I see here is the act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or condition, reinstatement, the restoration of peace, restoring to an unimpaired or improved condition, the restoration of a pairing. So, so restoration is always in abundance. When something is restored, it is always better than it was to begin with. Wow, it's better. That means better than before. God's promise to use us is a better, in a better way, a better life, a better future of ourselves and for our loved ones. Wow, that's awesome. So I thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that is being restored in Regina's life, Lord, for her and her family. Thank you, Lord, because life is going to be in abundance. It's going to be better. And we thank you for that, and we thank you for her life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, for Father God, for what you're bringing to her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Hey, Regina, I'm going to unmute Miss Angie just in case she has something to for you. All right, Regina. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Just just been praying a lot for my kids, especially two of them.
Can you get a little closer to your phone? I'm not making out what you're saying. I want to make sure I hear you.
I just said earlier I was just praying, and I've been praying. It's been on my heart for two of my kids. I've just been praying that God would just, you know, to just give them a, you know, just their heart, just to turn their heart back to Him and just, you know, come back to their lifestyle. Just needs to change. So I've been, that's been on my heart a lot for them and some of my family members too. So,
well, you heard what I read out. It says God's promise, yes, restoration. The meaning in the Bible is God's promise to us is a better way, a better life, a better future for ourselves and our loved ones. So they're included.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They're included. And God is hearing your prayer. He's hearing you. Just keep on. Sometimes, you know, we feel like, Lord, I don't hear anything. I don't see anything, but I hope this is a confirmation to you that your prayers are being answered, that God is hearing you.
Yes, it is.
I hope you're encouraged with that. And just continue praying because it's working. It's working.
Amen.
So he's restoring things to them. He's restoring them. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. I know a mother's heart, how that feels, Father God, for her children. And I come in agreement with her, Father God, for her children, Father God. I pray that you do mighty works in their lives. I pray that you open their eyes, Father God, so that they can see you everywhere. In everything they do, that they hear you, that they see you, that they hear you calling them. I pray that you give them a hunger, a thirst for righteousness, Father God. I pray that you just draw them closer and closer to you, that they can't help themselves. But to draw closer to you, Father God, that everything reminds them of you, Father God, that everything reminds them of you, and that they're wooed with that love, with your love, Lord, that they're wooed with your love, Father God, that they'll come because it's easy to come when you're loved, when you're feeling loved. And I thank you, Father God. I pray, Father God, move away any ungodly influences, Father God. Move those away, Father God, and just draw them to you. And, Lord, I just pray you give their mother favor with them, Father God, that they won't hear things that are different, that the enemy doesn't distort any of her words to them, that they'll hear her exactly, and they'll hear her heart. They'll hear her heart, Father God, and that the enemy won't distort that, Father God. We just pray that whatever the enemy tries to lie to them about, we just cancel that in the name of Jesus, and that they will not hear the voice of the enemy, but they'll hear the voice of their Lord and Savior loud and clear in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Loud and clear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank
you. We pray this in the name of Jesus for my sister.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else to say or a prayer or a testimony? Any testimony?
You know, I was sharing earlier that I think it was Tuesday morning. I had this dream that was, usually I don't remember my dreams all the time, but this dream was like I was Ohio in this park, and as I was approaching the people in the park, they were trying to wonder, some was looking in the sky and they're kind of wondering what is this noise they were hearing, but I could hear the noise from far off, but it was clear to me 3 minutes saying that is a trumpet sound, like I heard it in my sleep. Like that is a trumpet. As the trumpet blowing, it sounds like far away, but it's like it's, you know, getting closer. So I'm like, that is, and I was just trying to let them know, like, that's the trumpet. That is the sound of a trumpet blowing.
And I spoke about that early in the show.
Oh, did you?
I don't know if you were on already. And I even played the so far. I mentioned that
that the way that in the Bible days they used to call for alert to alert people of the enemy, that, you know, for different reasons, whether it was for a funeral, sounds of a cry or whatever, there's different sounds with the shofar that is played. And I also mentioned that in the military, they play a trumpet. You know, they play the trumpet when somebody passes away. They play the trumpet when there's a sound for a war. There's different reasons why they play the trumpet in the military. They either call it a trumpet or a bugle. But in the Bible days, what it was a horn, a ram's horn, and it's called a shofar. And I played, give me a minute. Let's see. Let me play it a little bit again. So I played that. So you're probably hearing what we're all hearing, that the Lord is sounding the trumpet, the shofar. He's alerting everybody to wake up. Wake up.
Yeah.
I hope you listen to the show at the beginning. And God is saying that we need to wake up, that it's getting harder for us to seek him more. It's getting darker. It's getting colder.
Yeah.
But we can't fall asleep. And Jesus told his disciples, you know, could you not pray with me 1 hour? So God is saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Wake up, sleeping giants, wake up.
Yeah.
And that's probably what you're hearing.
I heard them. Like, it's the, and I was trying to tell everybody in the park, like, that is a trumpet sound, like that, you know, some knew, some didn't, and I was just, like, trying to tell them, like, listen, you know, like, listen, that's what, it's a trumpet, it's the trumpet, it's the sound, you know, it's a sound of a trumpet. And then it, then the other part of the dream was, like, big ice balls were falling, like hail, but they were the size of a baseball. It was like a clear ball of ice was falling and breaking windows and windshields on the cars. And then I woke up. I was like, wow.
That's happening in some parts of Texas and in other states with the hail, the size of a ball, a big ball.
Yeah, like a baseball.
That's already happening.
I haven't been watching the news. So I was like, okay, I don't know. But that's what that was clear, and I usually don't remember my dreams very well because I've been praying about that too. Like, I don't remember. But that
so
was
you're confirming
clear.
What I said.
Yeah, that was so clear. It was Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday morning. Tuesday or Wednesday morning, yeah. I got up early for work, but I was like, oh, it's too early, so I'm going to go back to sleep. And just within an hour, it was so vivid. I was like, whoa. I heard like a trumpet sound. Like I heard it in my sleep. I heard it. I'm like, wow, that was clear. Yeah.
So that is a confirmation. I'm glad you called in to give that testimony. Confirms. Because I was saying how I was working as a security officer, and the things that I learned while I was being there. And so God was showing me that we had to watch out for the perimeters so that the enemy doesn't come in, right? But that's in our lives. And that's also, you know, the Bible shows that they had walls and hedges, and, you know, that's, he uses prophets to let you know, that the enemy's coming. And they would use trumpets. They would use shofars. And so, to let us see that we have to listen to the prophets. The more prophets there are, the better, because, you know, that way a church is more prepared, honestly. They're more prepared to receive, you know, to know what God is telling them, and so that they can stay on the right course. So this is what I learned as a security officer going around the perimeters. But right before the day broke and that the sun was ready to come out, it got really, really cold. And it never failed. Every day at that, you know, right before that happened, it got really cold. And at a certain hour, around 4 in the morning, you could hear the little birds and the roosters. And that immediately brought me to the story where Jesus was in the garden praying. And, you know, and then when Peter heard the rooster, when he denied Jesus. So Jesus told his disciples ahead of time, pray. You know, could you not stay with me for 1 hour and pray? He told them, and he told them again, and that he found them sleeping. He found them sleeping. Yeah. And when he found them sleeping, he said, so that you would not fall into temptation. So that happened to Peter because he wasn't praying. He could have overcome that, but he didn't. And he, you know, he betrayed Jesus, you know, in a sense, you know, because he didn't do what he was told to do. So I believe that this is, you know, we have to pay attention to our prayer life, allow the prophetic to be around us to help us to stay on the right course, because as it gets darker, it's going to get heavy. It's going to get really heavy and hard, spiritually speaking. I believe it's a spiritually speaking thing that is going to get, like, right before the Lord comes, it's going to get really heavy for people to do the right thing, to do what God is calling them to do.
It's already, that's already is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people turning their backs, but it's going to get worse than this. And right when you can't anymore, and right when people don't want to do anymore, I think it's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. We think that this is bad, but it's going to get worse. And it's going to be quick. This is going to be quick, because right before the day of break, that the day breaks and the sun comes out, you know, when you've been, you know, waiting and waiting and doing what you're supposed to do and watching and praying, you feel like giving up. And when you feel like giving up, a lot of people have to feel that way right before he comes. But don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying.
All right.
Keep seeking God, even when it's really hard, even when it's really hard. And I tell you, I felt that when, as a security officer, you feel that. Right in those last hours, that last hour, you're like, I can't anymore. I want to go to sleep. My body's asking me. I mean, even the desk looked good. Like wanting to sleep on the desk. And I kept myself active. I had to get up. Because if I sat down, I would have fallen asleep. But I kept going around and around and around and doing what I had to do. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I would get around and I would wake up the other employees. I would wake them up. Because they would fall asleep.
I was night shift for a long time. And 3 to 6, those were the worst hours. 3 a.m. to 6. Yes, those are the hardest hours to stay awake. It don't matter how much sleep you get during the day. Those are hard hours to stay awake.
And that's when the nocturnal animals come out. You see a lot of bats. You see a lot of weird things at night. And it would just, they would ask me, aren't you afraid? I go, no, whatever's out there has got to be afraid of me. And they would laugh.
Right.
They would laugh. I was like, I wasn't afraid, but it was taxing on my body. It's taxing. Those hours are taxing on your body. So I believe that that's what it is. It's not so much that, you know, it's that it's going to be all the stuff that's coming at us, you know, and because if you're not spiritually healthy, it's going to be hard. And it is possible to be spiritually healthy, and that Jesus says by praying. He says, pray. He says, pray so that you don't come into temptation.
Right.
So you won't fall. Yeah. You don't fail. And so I think we need all to up it. We need to be in the around the prophetic. the churches that have the more of the prophets. It's not one prophet to superstar prophet. Uh-uh. It's all of them. The more, the better. Because they're hearing from the Lord in different, you know, perspectives. You know, the same word, but differently. They're hearing it. So we just have to continue praying. And I thank the Lord for you that you mentioned that. Yeah, I don't understand it all. I mean, this could all come really fast. And we're seeing a lot of ugly things on TV, on even in the media. I don't know if you heard things with Disney, the things that they're putting out there, asking children if they are a boy or a girl, and kids are questioning if they're a boy or a girl. Yeah, and they're brave souls. I saw two people, Sid Roth and Ben Shapiro, that they want to make shows for children addressing all those things in a godly way so that children won't fall into the confusion. And I applaud them for that. I applaud them for that. I pray that God will help them to make it and do much more, and you know, because it has to be fought back. We got to push back the darkness because we are salt of the earth. And if the salt is not doing what it's supposed to do, then what is it good for?
Yeah. And Disney's been putting out a lot of subliminal messages in their cartoons and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
This has been over, I would say, a long time. Well, when the Lord talked to me about it, it was about 27 years ago. I remember a sister having a dream. I was living in Germany, and she had a dream that I was in her house and that other sisters were in the house, and that a mouse came in, and that they all jumped on the sofa, and they were scared, and I got off the sofa, and I took the mouse, and I took it by the tail, and I slammed it on the floor and killed it, and then I opened the window and threw it out. But when I threw it out the window, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them out in the window, and the mouse became alive again. And so I was like, what does that have to do with that dream? But the sister didn't know that I was going on a trip that weekend to Euro Disney, because the military had set something up for us to make it cheaper for us to take our family. So we went. And when I went to the Euro Disney in France, we saw the whole thing. It was a horrible trip. My ex-husband was acting up. It was like, it was really wild. And so the kids, you know, we went, and I went, and I got some souvenir shirts and some things for the kids, right? And at the end of the trip, you have the light shows with all the characters parading. And while they're parading and all the lights are, you know, this is a night thing, the Lord goes, this is idolatry. And I'm like, what? What? I heard him. And he says, this is idolatry. And I said, Lord, but why didn't you tell me before? I bought all these things. I knew I heard it. And then I remembered the dream that the sister had. And I'm like, this is what God was saying to the sister. It was, you know, to confirm to me later on that I was on the right track, that I heard him. And so the reason why that mouse died and then came alive, it was going to die out of our lives. We weren't going to have it. And in the world, it was going to increase. Okay? So when I got home, I told my daughter about it, and family would always send them gifts and things, and a lot of it was Disney stuff. I got rid of all of that. My kids were like, well, what are we going to have for toys? I mean, they were like, I cleared the room, their rooms out. Don't worry, God's going to bless you. And he did. Eventually, we changed all the toys that had nothing to do with that or anything else that I felt in my spirit that was, you know, not of the Lord, you know, because everything was tainted with evil stuff. And I was on a rant from that point on, and I've told everybody, don't let your kids watch none of that. And family members have shunned me because of it, but look what's happening now. And I know this lady pastor that said that she worked in Florida in the Disney their place over there. And she says that they have tunnels, and there was a lot of perversion going under those tunnels, a lot of nasty things in the with the employees. And I was like, that's heavy. That's heavy.
Wow.
So I never wanted to go
right
back.
Up under, yeah, right in our face.
Mm-hmm.
Very subtle.
And so, God, anything with Disney, I don't want it. If I see something that has some, I throw it out. I don't want to see no movie, no nothing. And look at the movies. It has to do with the dead. A lot of little cutie stuff, but it has to do with the dead. And they have all kinds of stuff that are not of God. So I don't like Disney or any other thing. So, you know,
I
don't. And I know this African pastor. Go ahead.
So perverted. There's so much.
Yeah.
Even, like, where I work, so you have a lot of young adults having babies, and you go in their rooms, and they're watching these adult cartoons. And it's amazing. I'm assuming they're addicted to it. It's just so perverted, though. They don't see it. Even if you try to point out to them, they laugh about it, like, oh, it's funny. But perversion in it, a lot.
Yeah, we have to be really careful. I knew this African pastor, and he says, you don't see that a lot over here, but in Africa, you can even see animals talking. If there's such, there's a lot of demonic regions, right? And his daughter was one day, I don't know what it was, she had, she went to bed, and she started screaming in her room. She had a whole bunch of animals around her, you know, dolls around her, and started
animals?
Screaming. And she, yeah, stuffed animals and dolls and stuff like that. And when her parents went into the room, they said, What's wrong? He says, the dolls were around my bed and saying, do you want to play with me? And they were
really?
Like, what? And so they started doing more research about everything, and they got rid of all those dolls. And then I told them about what had happened with me with you know, things like that with Disney and stuff like that. And so they got rid of all of those things from her room. I met them after I had left Germany, and I told them, you know, my experiences. But, I mean, they were strong. The wife is a strong prayer warrior. And so she encountered a lot of, you know, things like that. It wasn't that it was made up or anything. She says, you know, these things. She was an intercessor, a prophetic intercessor was basically what she was. She would pray for the cities and the, you know, the states. She had has a strong calling. Right now they're up in Europe. And so wherever God wants them, they've been to different places, and it's wherever God sends them. But the attacks are real too. But we have to pray. We can't let our guards down. The enemy knows what to hit us with, and we have to continue being watchful, being guards, watching, allow, and being in churches where they respect the prophetic. Where they allow the prophetic, not only, you know, the prophetic, the fivefold ministry, but the prophetic is necessary for them to hear, you know, for them to alert to the enemy and breaking the hedge of protection, you know what I'm saying? And so people need to listen when the Spirit of God is saying something, because God is trying to get something to you so that you will be protected. So that there won't be an open hedge and a gap there. That's what intercession is about, entering into the gap so that the enemy won't get in there. Amen? So
yes.
We have to make a priority, and money should not be our priority. Our priority should be God, because if we're investing all our time in the things and the cares of the world, it's going to take a lot from us. And sometimes we have to take, you know, the lower paying job maybe, and God will bless us eventually with other things as we're faithful in putting in Him first. And I'm not saying that, you know, lower paying jobs does, you know, is always the answer, but if that's the route that God is telling you to do, you go and do whatever God leads, you know, because He knows what's best for you, and He's the one that's going to bless you It's not your own efforts. Your own hands are not the ones that are going to obtain what you need. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. So, wow. That's, yeah. So I played that. And for some reason, that's what God is saying now. And he's talking about this covenant. He wants us to understand what he paid the price for. In order to be in a covenant, you have to be committed. You have to be committed to him. Otherwise, there is no covenant. It's like Israel kept breaking the covenant. But you know what? He was faithful, and he always gave grace. He didn't give them what they deserved. He gave them grace, and he continues to give us grace.
Yes.
Amen. He continues to give us grace, so we just have to stay faithful and committed to him. To pray, pray. That's all he's asking. Pray, pray. Jesus said. And that's why I kept hearing at work. You know, when I would walk around and I'm like, he would remind me of things. He would remind me that Jesus returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Were you not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Yeah, you're right about that. The body's weak at that hour. So we're going to feel weak, but, you know, and our spirits are going to want it, but our bodies are going to feel weak. Mm-hmm. But we got to continue no matter what we see.
Man.
This is just, we have to get on with the ball.
Help us, Lord. Yes.
Yeah, in Matthew 25:5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And God says, you know, wake up, wake up, wake up, sleeping giant. I have a song from Mitzi Edwards, and she plays about wake up, wake up. I got to look for it. Wake up, old sleeper. Let's see if I find it. I'll play that one. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there anything else you would like to pray for? Or another testimony? I love the one that you gave. I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
I said my brother's going to have surgery in May 16th, so if we can just keep him on your prayer list. His name is Tyrone.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Tyrone. Lord, we just pray that your hands be in the hands of the doctors, Father God, that everything will go perfect, Father God, that they will know what to do because it's your hands doing it. I pray, Father God, that if there's anything in the way, that the doctors will know that you inspire, that you would touch the minds of the doctors, Father God, to know exactly what to do in whatever situation. And I pray that once that surgery is done, Father God, we pray also for rapid recovery, for rapid healing in Jesus' name for Tyrone, Lord, that we bind the enemy from operating in any way, form, or fashion. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life and not only repairing the things in his body, but also repairing his life in the spiritual sense, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you touch him, that you minister to him, that you would help him to see how life is fragile, that life that we have a set amount of time on earth and that tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody, Lord. I just pray that you would put that in his heart to help him to get right with you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in his life, Father God. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Touch him,
Lord.
Father God, like never before in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking for that scripture before we go. It's about the sleeping giant. It talks about, Miss Angie, are you there? No, she's not there. She probably stepped out. But there is a scripture that talks
about.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, do you have anything for Regina?
Well, actually, what I've gotten was a couple even before is that the reception needs to, people pray for the reception so that their perception can change. Because sometimes when we're speaking to them, it feels like a wound versus, you know what I mean, than a healing word. When they're dealing with their children.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and it could be on either end at either time. Just, you know, pray for the communication, you know, the reception and the perception. Those are the listeners and the speaker. You know what I'm saying? That the words are received in the way that they're meant to be received. Either how the enemy will twist them up. And you're really speaking loving kindness to them with wisdom, but they're not hearing it that way. They're hearing it as condemnation. And, you know, and that's not what you're trying to, you know, give your children. You're trying to woo them like God woos them, but sometimes it doesn't come off that way. They're not. Their ears aren't hearing the sound of love as much as they're hearing the sound of, you know, I don't approve. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
Well, it's the enemy, too, to you know, garble things up in their own ears to not let them hear what her heart is all about. That's why I prayed for favor.
That's what I got. It's the reception and the perception. Just pray that over the reception and the perception, you know, how they receive it and how they hear it and how they receive it, because it's in that place.
Yeah. I do pray. Yeah, I have been praying like, Lord, help me say the right words and let them, you know, receive it
and hear it in the spirit of love, you know, that's healing. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they tend to that, and that's the enemy that tries to do that too. And that we just pray for you, God, to give you wisdom to know what to say, when to say it.
Right.
How to say it. Especially as touchy as young people can be nowadays.
They need to be able to hear what she's saying and also perceive what she's saying. You know, it's, you know, like plant, you know, deep. Got to go in there deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it does. It just maybe takes a while for it to manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't put a tomato plant in the ground today and go pick a tomato tomorrow. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so. I can get it.
Yeah.
I have three daughters. That's a lot of estrogen.
Right.
Yeah, you know how it is with females. But you know what? When they give their hearts to something and they know that God is there, they do turn around. So we just pray that God will touch their hearts like he did with many women in the Bible, that he turned their hearts around and that they fell totally in love with the Lord once they knew they were loved. And so I pray, Father God, that they would know that they're loved by the Lord in Jesus' name, that they would experience that God kind of love in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God. And you know what? A thing that I learned from this lady evangelist, and she's always said this, you know, she went through a lot of things. Her ex-husband decided he was going to come out of the closet and say that he was gay, but he was a pastor. And then she had, I think, three daughters, I think it was. And the daughters, once the father came out, they started rebelling. They started doing the same thing the father was doing, all these other stuff, doing the things that bad things. And she says that the Lord told her not to say anything, not to say anything and to just be quiet and to pray and tell him, Lord, you see what they're doing. Your daughter, look what your daughter, you need to deal with your daughter, Lord. And she started praying and telling the Lord about it and not telling the daughters. Do you know that her daughters are in ministry now? One is a doctor and the other two are working in ministry.
Wow.
Okay. So that's the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer. Okay. So you may see everything and you're quiet. You don't say nothing. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't say anything because the enemy wants to, you know, entangle you with, in an argument with your children. Just don't say anything.
Right.
Don't say anything. Just, you know, let them be and just pray. They're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit touching them and convicting them. Amen. So you say, Lord, convict them of their sins. You do it. You do it, Lord. You do it. Let them know that what they're doing is wrong, not because of my words, because you're dealing with them. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anything else, Regina?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for that dream that you gave them. I mean, listen to the show once it's done. You're going to hear about the trumpet. It's going to make sense to you. Yeah, so that's no coincidence. I'm glad you spoke about it. Thank you so much. Well, God bless you. I have one more caller.
God
bless you. Have a blessed week. All right. 504-376, your name and where you're from? Okay, we got tired of waiting. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for 504-376. Lord, we just thank you, Father God. We just thank you for the sweet sleep you're giving them, Lord. I pray that you give them not only sweet sleep, but dreams and visions, Father God, that you give them dreams and visions, Father God. And I pray, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the words that you're putting in them, Father God, to feed others. I thank you for their calling, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in their lives in Jesus' name. And bring anything that may be hindering their calling, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you bring healing to whatever areas of their life that may need healing, Father God, so that they will be true vessels that are pure and holy for you, Father God, that will bring the word with accuracy, that will bring your word to others in an anointed way, Father God. Lord, I thank you for that anointing in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives in Jesus' name. Let me try them again. Hello? Okay, no, they're in sweet sleep. Do you have anything for them, Sandy?
Just snore on. wake up. Woo.
Yeah, wake up, old sleeper. I know the song I'm going to play.
No, you have a blessed evening. I love you.
Well, I love you too. I'm going to play this song and this one. Misty Edwards, wake, awake, oh, watchman, watchman. Watchman. Wake up, Watchman. Wake up.
Amen. Let me pray. All right.
Something bigger going on.
Thank you. Open the floodgates of heaven.